Our sermon will reflect on the reading both from Acts and also from John. A reread from Acts 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." You may be seated. We have a few Ohio State fans in this congregation. One or two Michigan fans, maybe more. You keep quiet sometimes. We have some Green Bay Packer fans in this. And I know we have some Cleveland. What's the new name of the Cleveland?
Guardians.
And some other sports teams as well. Now, when you're excited about a tournament or a game or a match, you're listening to the radio or following on your phone or watching on the television, and you're hoping that your team is going to win. You're not a fan if you're hoping your team is going to lose. Well, sometimes there's just odd situations. You think, well, I don't want that quarterback anymore. I hope we lose and they get rid of him. But you're saying that because in the long term, you want your team to win. That's what fans are like. What we have in the readings is a change in the disciples. It's a change in the disciples' thinking that their side, what they thought was God's side, lost. Changing to know that God had won. You see, the text starts out in John 20 that the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that the Jewish leaders had won forever. They were afraid of them. They knew that morning that Jesus' body was not in the tomb, but where was he? And they knew many things that they had happened, and they saw some of these things themselves. Maybe they heard about other things. Some of the things they did themselves. They knew that the Jewish leaders had plotted to kill Jesus. And it looked like their plot had completely succeeded. For they knew and heard and participated with the crowds on that Palm Sunday, praising Jesus as king. But the plot succeeded. Either it was the crowds changed their mind, or it was a different crowd of people, or whatever. But on Friday morning, the crowds gathered, said, "Crucify him." And that was part of the plot, that the crowds would turn against Jesus. Because in the end, even in governments which are just completely run by a dictator, if the crowds get too much, they're going to have to do something. And the crowds were too much for Pilate. The crowd said, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Okay. He's innocent. But okay. Do what you want with them. I wash my hands of this. Okay. That was part of the plan of the Jewish leaders. And the disciples, during the arrest and in the evening and overnight during the trials, they ran away, they hid. They themselves participated in what they thought was a loss because they ran away from their, you should notice what it said in Acts, leader. They ran away. They truly believed as much as they could before Jesus' death and resurrection that Jesus was sent from God. That was Peter's confession. That was Martha's confession. That was confession of the others, that you are the Christ, the chosen one of God. And they saw Jesus do miracles and have his mercy on people, healing them from all kinds of conditions. He saw people, saw Jesus raise some people from the dead. They saw Jesus, his heart went out to people who were in trouble or who were outcast. They saw and heard Jesus' wonderful teachings. Nobody could trick Jesus. He would ask them another question or bring them to see that they couldn't answer him anymore. Sometimes they just had to be quiet because his question came back too strong. And they saw Jesus forgive people. They saw all this and they believed all this was from God, God's teachings and God's healing and God's forgiveness. But the text says they locked the doors for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that God lost or was wrong or what happened. When Jesus appeared to them, he showed them that no, he had not lost, he had won. First, he shows them he is alive. St. Paul wrote that the last enemy to be defeated is death. And Jesus showed that even death, the dying of the physical body, cannot stop him. He brings and comes to life again. And he told Thomas, look, look, it is my body. You see what you saw crucified, what they did to me, I'm alive. I'm back from the dead. I'm victorious. Even sometimes there's an expression in our culture, in our language, isn't there? When a team is just utterly defeated, maybe that half season of baseball just down in the dumps and they'll come back. We say they're back from the dead. We have that phrase. They look to be dead and now they're back. Jesus is back. And Jesus, that first thing he says to them, I've preached it many times. He says, peace be with you. And that is so important to understand how much he is saying to them with that phrase. That peace is harmony with God. That peace is relationship, is life, is salvation. If you have that peace with God, you're okay. No matter what's going on, you have peace with God. And then Jesus says to them, now receive the Holy Spirit. And also he tells them to forgive. And now when Jesus says that, he's telling them that peace that you have the Holy Spirit, you have the peace with God, and that peace of God is going to go through you to others with this forgiveness. Because to have peace with God is to be right with him, is to have this good relationship with him. And we need forgiveness. And he gave it to them, and he said, and you will also give it to others. And through that peace and forgiveness, That is how his kingdom wins. That is how his kingdom is spread through forgiveness. And he wants them to know that he's not dead. He is alive. His teachings are real. There is life and there is peace, and they are part of it, and they will also spread it by spreading forgiveness. In our reading from Acts, then, which is after Pentecost, after Jesus ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came with power upon the disciples, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, then a number of things happened, but one of the things that happened is the disciples were arrested. Now, they are not afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, they're not hiding behind locked doors. They are out in public preaching and teaching about Jesus, and they are arrested. And it starts off here. There's a little bit of narrative before our reading started, earlier than verse 29. But what they had been commanded to do by the Jewish leaders is to stop preaching in this man's name, Jesus' name. And that's when they said, we must obey God rather than men. Now, we know and believe that Jesus is alive. You did not defeat him. You did not win. All your plans looked for a few days like you won and we were hiding, but Jesus is alive. And we know this is God's will, and we know this is what God wants, how he will bless people. So we will not obey you by saying to stop teaching Jesus' name. No. We must obey God rather than men. And we see there that they realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He has defeated death, and they do not have to fear. Their team has won and wins forever. When in this life yet, it appears that the Christian faith and belief is losing, because where is Jesus? There's the cross, but where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in our suffering? Where is Jesus in our hardship? Where is Jesus? Then these words that Jesus said to Thomas, which are repeated in the reading from 1 Peter, Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Do not see the victorious Christ and touch him like Thomas did and spend a few days with him like the other disciples did before he ascended into heaven. But blessed are those who believe the witness and believe that Jesus is risen from the dead and he overcomes all things and for his people. St. Peter wrote in that first chapter that we just read, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We are called to believe in Jesus, even though we haven't seen him like Thomas and the others yet. But this is reality, this is fact, we live our lives like this. We are not losing. But God places us as servants to be witnesses. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to rise in victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Help us to see and believe firmly that evil does not overcome your plans. The devil is defeated. Evil things in this world are real, but they are temporary. Help us to see all this and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And help us to know that we are forgiven in his name. In his holy name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn after the sermon, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," 524.